620 WGN on the road with Dane, live here in the Allstate Skyline Studios, high atop Chicago on what is, I think we would all agree, kind of a gloomy, kind of a wet Saturday. Congratulations to the mighty champion Wildcats. Another great effort by them, another great game, another great call by Dave Ennett, and excited to follow up with them on a weekend that is going to have a ton of tailgating. I'm sure there was a ton happening up in Minnesota and a lot of home gating as people watched those games. And the NFL season has been, at least for Chicago fans and Bear fans, has been more exciting than ever. Usually, at least for the handful of years in the past, so the most exciting part of a Bears Sunday might be the tailgate, might be the fun that you have with your friends, and certainly on the food side. So we've got a great show on tap. We're going to be doing a little bit of racing stuff. Of course, it is championship weekend in NASCAR down at Miami Homestead Speedway, and a little bit later on the program, we're going to talk with NASCAR and NBC's Rutledge Wood. You know him from his shows Southern and Hungry on the Cooking Channel, a lot of the stuff that he does, Guy's Grocery Games on the Food Network, and of course front and center for a lot of the things that are happening with NASCAR and NBC. He will be there, and he'll be joining us live from Miami a little bit later on in the program. Vince Welch, the voice of the Camping World Truck Series, and does so many things in NASCAR on Fox, and the voice of a lot of that stuff, pit reporter for some of those biggest races in the Monster Energy Cup Series as well. He'll be joining us as well to give his thoughts on this finale weekend, this championship weekend, and the passing of racing legend David Pearson. We'll talk about that with him a little bit later on in the program. We're going to talk with Sean Gale. You know Sean Gale, of course. He was number 23. He was in the Super Bowl shuffle. He was on the mighty 85 Bears, but that does not define him. He loves to tailgate, and Taste of the NFL is coming up, and Kick Hunger Challenge. He's going to be part of that. So in our first break, as soon as we get done with kind of doing the roundup, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be on with Sean to talk about tailgating from one of our Bears. And tomorrow is going to be one of those extended tailgate times. You got a Sunday night game. I don't think it makes people, you know, show up later. I think they just show up and kind of extend that party a little bit longer. So it is going to be a festive group that's going to be enjoying the Bears at Soldier Field tomorrow night. Got a chance to do a little bit of a road trip, and we'll hear him later on in the program as well. James S. Murray, have any of the listeners, have you guys, you know, the Impractical Jokers, are you familiar with that program? Well, you should be, because it's I think it's the number one or number two top cable television show. It's on True TV. It's on, you know, 4 hours a night on there, and it's four friends who do practical jokes on each other. That's a competition show, and not only do they do the television show, but they also do this stadium tour, and we got a chance to go on the road, Maxwell, my son, and I, to go see those guys live, and got a chance to talk with Murr, who is one of the characters, James S. Murray, and he's got a new book. We'll talk about that, plus life on the road and their careers. It's exciting. It's a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. And for Maxwell, this is his favorite show. He's been watching them for like 4 years. So for him to have that opportunity to see them and meet them was pretty exciting. So Ashley, you know, you're I would say a younger person, certainly an adult and in, you know, college and an experienced and adept producer here at WGN Radio. But have you gotten a chance, you know, when you were maybe more of a kid, did you get an opportunity to meet, you know, people like an idol of yours, right? Somebody that you really looked up to or were entertained by. Did you ever get a chance to meet him? Did it go well?
I can't remember. I feel like I met SpongeBob at like Disney Channel, like Disney World, and I was so excited, and it was the best day of my life. So I guess yes, but not to this degree as Maxwell has experienced.
Yeah, so we'll hear from SpongeBob. It's so funny. We always say whenever SpongeBob gets brought up, we always say that. I always say, hey, your mom used to work with SpongeBob, because Esther used to, like, SpongeBob came out for some events for a company that she worked for, and her job was she was the don't touch the nose girl, because the SpongeBob costume is, you know, it's blocky, but it's got a big, long nose, and the kids, they just are always drawn to grabbing it, and it gets all dirty and whatever kind of thing. So her whole job was don't touch the nose. That was it. So she worked with SpongeBob. So some connections there. Yeah. All right. So we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to have Sean Gale, number 23. He's going to be talking a little tailgating with us. So keep it here. It's On the Road with Dane here on 720 WGN.
Hi, this is Sean Gale. You're on the road with Dane on WGN. Come on,
baby, don't you wanna go? 720 WGN on the road with Dane, live here in the Allstate Skyline Studio, high atop Chicago, which is not the most exciting place, obviously, in the city. But on the line with us, honored to have a guy who played 12 seasons in the NFL and 11 as a Pro Bowl safety for the mighty Chicago Bears and part of the mightiest Bears team of all time, maybe the mightiest in all of the NFL, and reached immortality as part of the shuffling crew for the Super Bowl shuffle. The one and only number 23, Sean Gale, welcome to WGN.
It's good to be here.
Well, it's great to have you on. I've got to share a little bit of history. I'm sure you won't remember any of it, but you were actually, I think, my first sort of, you know, sports celebrity interview that I had ever done. It was something related to Sports Channel and down at Grant Park, and Steve Cashel was there. I actually got a chance to, this was, you know, beyond his playing days, but Bob Avellini was also there. It might have been 1997, and you were absolutely awesome. So thank you for doing that so many years ago. I didn't get a chance to thank you till now.
Well, Dan, thank you for remembering. You got a pretty good memory. I'm sure it serves you well.
You know, when you think about this and so many, you know, great experiences that you had with the Bears with the last handful of years, the best thing about a Bears game was maybe the tailgate, right? Maybe the food and some of the ways you could enjoy it on the food side. And for you, you know, personally, as, you know, you were playing with the Bears, and of course, Ohio State known for their great fan base on the college football side, so many great tailgates. So now that you're past the playing days and getting an opportunity to kind of sit back, enjoy some of the accoutrements on the food side of football, what is it? What does a Sean Gale do when he's relaxing, watching a game? What do you have?
Well, I have to say it's a time of day where it's a type of food that you want to be able to enjoy with one hand because you might have a beer in the other hand. I mean, I'm just going to tell you like it is. A lot of players enjoy watching the game and enjoy a nice snack. So for us, you know, that's not really part of the ritual we grew up with because we were usually playing.
Right.
But now that we're out of the game, we have an opportunity to mingle with the fans and spend time watching. You know, it's nothing like a nice burger, chips, some fries, all the different type of recipes that have been passed down through generations of families that have watched a particular team. To me, that's always been fascinating. But it's really something because the menu can be so diversified. I've had the opportunity to spend some time at events in different areas, and there's no really set menu that everyone deviates from. It's just something that someone likes and enjoys cooking, and they make it their signature dish. And so you go from one tent to the next, and you can pretty much find any type of food that you like.
Well, it comes to the grilling side. You certainly see a lot of grilling and the barbecue side and things happening in a parking lot or around, let's say, Soldier Field. But you go around the country, people, and you mentioned it, people kind of make it their own, right? You know, whatever part of the country it is, you know, there'll be, you know, like a jambalaya or crab boil or lobsters or brisket down in Texas or out in California. Maybe you have maybe some more sensible options, but people enjoy doing it, and they enjoy kind of making it their own, like you said. And of course, you do have to have the beverage, preferably cold, in one hand as well when you're doing it. Now, do you enjoy, of course, you had the best seat in the house right there on the field, but do you enjoy going to the games as much? Because a lot of people that we talk to, you know, not everybody has the greatest seats, and the way that they do it with television now, watching a game at home can be pretty great.
I don't spend much time at the stadiums. I can say that. I do enjoy watching a game from time to time. In fact, it's pretty much my job. I work for one of the networks, so I cover the NFL, so I spend a lot of time watching games. But every once in a while, I get a chance to go to an event and meet the fans pregame and have a chance to sample some of the dishes, and that's always exciting for me. In fact, that's why I'm so incredibly grateful that I've been able to be a part of the taste of the NFL.
It's a big thing. You think about all the food that happens in and around, and of course, the Super Bowl, the biggest celebration in football, probably in sports, you know, taste of the NFL is out there. And so let's talk a little bit about the Kick Hunger Challenge. This is an opportunity for everybody to get involved, right? You don't have to necessarily be out there with a Super Bowl ticket. You can get involved. You can support your team. You can support the food situation and relief organization that is in your area supporting your team. It's Greater Chicago Food Depository for us. But talk about how fans can get involved and support it, go along with you, and stop hunger.
The Taste of NFL's Kick Hunger Challenge, it really pits fans from all 32 NFL teams against each other. It's a friendly competition to help raise money for your favorite NFL team's local food bank. All the proceeds raised, it goes directly to benefit your community and the Chase NFL has done such a great time over the years. To date, they've raised upwards of $26 million wow. for food banks and non-profit organizations in all 32 NFL cities. It's really something special. And to be a part of that, you really feel the power of community, realizing that anything that we set our minds to do together, there's really no goal we can't reach. And, you know, there are people out there who just don't have the means to enjoy what we have. And if there's anything that we can do, it's to take a step forward and make a difference in some lives. And I've been very fortunate to be a part of this. And I really enjoy spending time with the organizers because you can really feel their passion. Their passion is a fuel for all of us.
Well, and we've got some great organizations that do incredible work all throughout the year. Greater Chicago Food Depository, kickhungerchallenge.com is the website for that. And it's does it help at all? You know, as a guy who's been a part of the greatest Bears team, certainly the greatest Bears defense, and you see the Bears. I don't want to say resurgent. You don't want to jinx it, but they're giving people a lot of things to get excited about. Does it actually? And you said involved over the years, and your job is to watch football. Having the Bears do better, does it make the donations go a little faster as well?
It does, because when the team plays well, everyone's attention is on the team. It's amazing. It's just human nature. Winning makes everything easier, makes everyone happier. And I think it's such a great time right now for the Bear fans, because we've been close before to getting to the Super Bowl. And I don't want to jinx it like you mentioned, but, you know, we have to be realistic that when the team does well, everyone comes out, everyone enjoys it, expectations are high. But I believe in this team. This team seems to rise to the occasion. They have the right pieces in place. It's just a matter of staying healthy and continuing to improve.
Yeah. I mean, they have a lot of the pieces in place. You look at the coaching staff and just, it's kind of like you plug in those right things and then things are hitting on all cylinders, and maybe they're not exactly, you know, where they need to be maybe this year, but I think this is a team that can accomplish great things. I know you agree. For those people that want to, we got kickhungerchallenge.com. We're going to have that up at WGNradio.com as well. And let the listeners know we're talking with Sean Gale. And Sean, is there anything as we let you go, if people, you know, listeners, fans want to follow you and your adventures, social media that you want to share?
I'm just one of the many people that are keeping tabs on the Bears, and I'm so hopeful that they'll continue to improve and win more and more games. And, you know, I'm looking at this upcoming game versus the Vikings. I know it's not going to be easy, but I'm a believer. And I think, as I mentioned, they're doing so well on defense. They're doing so well on offense. They have so many skilled athletes out there. I wish them the best, and I can't wait to see a result that would have me smiling going into the playoffs.
Yeah, it certainly makes it a lot of fun whenever you can kind of couple that fun. Like you said, people get excited about the team. They're excited about things that are going on and excited to help as well. KickHungerChallenge.com. Like I said, we'll have it up. And John, we'll let you get back to doing what you're doing. Thanks so much for everything, for being involved in such a great cause, and, of course, for being such a great player and for jumping on the show today.
Thanks for having me. And again, look up the information, Chase NFL. It's a great charity. There's a representative from every NFL team, and I'm fortunate enough to represent the Bears there. If you happen to be in Atlanta during the Super Bowl, you can grab a ticket. Come on by and see us. It's a great experience. So many wonderful dishes from all around the United States covering each NFL team. You'll meet a player, get an autograph, and have a great experience eating some fantastic tailgate food.
Yeah, the Super Bowl is always a great time and great food there, and you never know, maybe there'll be more than just you in relation to the Bears there as well. It could be maybe the Bears will be representing, and that's a great road trip, not too far, Atlanta, maybe about 10 hours. So thank you, Sean. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, Nate. Take care.
You know what? If people want to, 312-981-7200, that's 312-981-7200. You can text in, you can call. And if you're going to the game tomorrow and you are going to be tailgating and you want to share, and maybe you're going to be doing something sort of as an homage to the upcoming Thanksgiving holiday, maybe practice out some fried turkey recipes, who knows, or whatever it is, you can share what it is that you're going to bring to the tailgate tomorrow at Soldier Field for that Sunday night game. You got to bring extra food and extra drinks, obviously, because you got an extended period of time to do it. And we'll share as many of those as we can, throughout the course of the program. When it comes to tailgating in NASCAR, it's as big as it gets for that Sunday race. You can start tailgating as early as Wednesday. So people are out there and enjoying, and they're enjoying some nice weather down there at Miami Homestead. And so we're going to talk with Rutledge Wood live from Miami. He'll be calling us a little bit after the news, so stay tuned for that, breaking down all of the action and the fun as we're going to crown a Monster Energy Cup champion tomorrow at 2 o'clock on NBC. Right now, though, it is 3 o'clock, and we're going to get to it just right on time. It is news time. Here are the sounds that matter, the top five at five, the Monroe Con Show with Anna DeVlantis. Weekday afternoons on 720 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. The news is sponsored by American Weathermakers. Here's Bob Kessler.
Hi, this is Rutledge Wood from NASCAR on NBC, and you're listening to On the Road with Dane on WGN.
720 WGN on the road with Dane live here in the Allstate Skyline studio high atop Chicago. You can see a long way from here, not all the way to where America, maybe the world, the motorsports loving world's eyes are fixated on Miami Homestead Speedway as we get into championship weekend. And the guy that is on the line to break down all the action and then also keep it light as well is, star. You see him on Cooking Channel, Food Network. And of course, he is the ambassador for both fast and fun on that great team for NASCAR and NBC, the one and only Rutledge Wood. Rutledge, welcome back to WGN.
Oh, Dane, thanks for having me, man. What a wonderful intro. I really appreciate that.
Oh, you deserve every bit of it. You know, anytime we can build up, you know, to what is really the true headliner, as far as at least the action and excitement off the track, we're going to definitely do that. But when you look at this, you know, from the beginning of the season, you know, of course, in the early part and throughout, you know, you had your big three and you had, all of them. You could have lined this up as the championship weekend kind of matchup from day one. But there's so many things that happened in the middle that made it maybe improbable at times, but here we are. I mean, you couldn't write a better script for what's going to take place tomorrow.
You really can't. It has been unbelievable. And since NBC took over in Chicago, you know, we really saw from that midpoint of the season that things just got more and more intense. And so many of us were wondering, who's going to be in there? Like, can the big three really sustain? You know, can Kevin Harvick, Martin Truex Jr., and Kyle Busch, Can they stay that good for as long as they have? And amazingly, they did. And it's so cool that Joey Logano was the other person to make it in there with the championship. You know, Kurt Busch was so close. He was half a lap away at Talladega, I really think, from being able to keep moving forward. You know, there's just so many. Chase Elliott was so close. There have been so many drivers that have gotten so close. But, wow, you know, now Sunday afternoon on NBC at 2 o'clock, it's going to be insane because we've seen, Dane, every single lap matters.
Yep. I mean, it's just, and we made this reference when we talked with a lot of different people, certainly the fans, is that basically the way that they've changed the scoring, whether it's the stages and the races within the race and all that kind of stuff, and now everybody is up to speed with what they need to do on the strategy side. You are seeing that this is becoming like a real thinking man sport, and it's like playoff baseball is totally different than regular season baseball, and it is from the green flag on. It's going to be like, you know, every single thing matters as far as what's going to, you know, end up happening for the checker.
It totally is, and we've seen guys like Kevin Harvick have difficulty with his pit crew in these insanely crucial moments, and that's something that's kind of always been around his career, and sometimes you kind of wonder, is that the pressure from the driver, from the team, all these angles, but those teams have had to step up, and they have stepped up even more than they have all year. I think it'll be really interesting to find out, with the 78 team shutting down after this weekend, this being their final ability to not only win a race, but possibly win this championship together, there's obviously going to be a lot on the line emotionally for those team members. And you really have to try to put it all together and put all of those other things behind you somehow and try to deliver on this, you know, to that level that you talk about, which is just that much more heightened. When you have three drivers who've won a championship before and one who is not, it really makes you wonder, is it going to come down to, you know, a late race pit stop, and can every member on that team be perfect in the moment that you need to be.
You mentioned, you know, contentious, and it really is. I think all those people that said, you know, they want, you know, the fire back, and they want a lot of conflict, they want fist fights in the infield and all that kind of stuff that people kind of are romantically attached to, I think this season has gone a long way to having a lot of those kind of fiery personalities come on. I think Martin Truex Jr., your defending champion, is probably the most, and I guess you'll use, I'm air quoting, mild-mannered, but you know what he always brings, and you just brought it up, Rutledge, is that he always brings kind of that Hollywood script, right? You know, whether it was Sherry last year and all the challenges and everything that was going on, plus him going for a championship, you had that going on, which was huge. And then this year, right, the end of an era for Furniture Row, and he's bringing that for Joey Logano. This is where he's able to, because he's always been kind of that, you know, he is kind of like the Kyle Busch of a handful of years ago, right? He hadn't won a championship, but he was, yeah, obviously making people crazy. Now he'll have the street cred if he wins to back up all of that talk.
Oh, yeah. And that's a perfect way to kind of look at that and look at what he's done in this year. It's pretty crazy. And I think he's going to be able to do it. I mean, really, any of these four have a true and huge shot. And so much of it is mental. So much of it is being flawless with that team, from qualifying to perfect pit stops to everything else. You really have to just be better than you've ever been and deliver in this huge way. But I think we're going to see it. And I think today with the Xfinity Series Championship, you're going to see the same sort of thing. You know, for Christopher Bell to have had to race his way in the way he did last weekend in Phoenix, that was gigantic, you know, and he stepped up and he did it. And you could kind of hear in his words before then, he had that kind of vibe where, you know, I made it farther this year than I thought, and I have to have some pride in that. And you go, yeah, that's really cool, but also, you're going to try and win this thing, buddy.
Right.
And he did. And I thought that was amazing to see.
Well, they're building it up, and you're seeing a lot of the drama on for the Truck Series. You're seeing so much excitement there. That is one thing that NASCAR does, is, you know, you combine basically this fun weekend, you know, this entire weekend of action. Of course, you know, everything is on the line and the stakes are high from the competitive side, for sure, for this weekend being championship weekend. But it is. There's so much going on. And you know what? These guys are, you know, either they're the face of the future or they're drivers that you know and love. And so I think you get a chance to see all that stuff and enjoy it. What you do is, and it's like no other sports broadcast out there, is you bring in, you know, obviously you've got all that street cred knowledge, you know the drivers, the situations, the scenarios and everything, but you bring in a little bit of the fun. Oftentimes you'll bring in the fans, right, and kind of showcase their participation on the fun side into things. So for tomorrow's race, and it is coming up at 2 p.m. of course on NBC, do you have anything crazy planned, any kind of crazy fun plan or things that you're going to showcase?
Oh, I mean, you know what? You try to find those passionate fans who look forward to this weekend all year long. And you know, a weekend like this, with the emotion of it being Elliott Sadler's last weekend, racing guys like, what's his name? Oh, I'm drawing a blank. I'm turning into my dad.
I love it.
Jamie McMurray, sorry.
Okay, Jamie McMurray.
I know, right? Hello. I make fun of my dad because he can't remember my friend's names, and then I do it to Jamie McMurray. But, you know, there's incredibly passionate fans, and I think I'm really lucky that, you know, my job has always been to highlight those people, because without the fans, the sport doesn't exist. It's just a bunch of people in an empty parking lot. And I think that's what's so cool about the sport of NASCAR, and knowing that if you support a driver and you're passionate about them, then it also means you in turn support the companies that believe in them and the opportunities to give back on a charity side. I mean, it's an endless kind of cycle of positivity. And I love people. You know that, Dan. We got to meet through food and friendship and all this other stuff years ago, and now I get to call in and be on your show. It's a really special thing. And I think as long as we continue to celebrate those fans for just being themselves, this sport will continue to grow and change the way that other sports are, but in really good ways. And I think that, to me, is what makes it so fun. It's also going to be more great weather, which is awesome. That always helps for a championship weekend when you can get people who want to be outside and have a good time. So I think that totally helps. But it is going to be crazy, and I totally think it's going to come down to the absolute last lap. And I don't mean, like, I realize you can't win a race until the last lap. I mean, I think there is going to be beating and banging on cars, and it's going to be every single lap. I think we're going to see the champion come across the line with someone else in his door.
It's one of the things where you just, for the first time, I just want to get the popcorn ready and sit down and enjoy it. I really don't have, because I think there's some positive sides on each one of these things. There isn't one compelling person that, you know, is the underdog that you're pulling for and everything like that. I think it's going to be amazing. What they've done is, you know, as far as trying to kind of have NASCAR recover a little bit from the loss of so many different top-level drivers and icons who've either stepped away or been pushed away or retired. Tired or whatever it is, and I think you got it because you've got these guys, right? These are the solidified, as exciting as it gets. And then you've got guys like Eric Jones, you've got, of course, Chase Elliott doing really well. You've got even like Arik Almirola, right, who's come up and been not only very, you know, I think he showed what he's truly capable now that he's at SHR, but also he's a fiery guy too. He doesn't like to lose.
Oh, you're totally right. And don't count out someone like Kyle Larson who can run the top of this racetrack. The guys yesterday or Thursday were making jokes in the press conference about the final, you know, four champions, saying that, well, we think one of us will be who wins and then wins the championship, but Kyle Larson is in the race. And it was funny to see, you know, these drivers are at that absolute pinnacle of competition, and they still are like, no, but this guy's really good. Kyle Larson runs so close to the wall, though, that eventually he becomes part of the wall, and that has been his, you know, that's been his problem there. So that's what's cool about this format is you've got to qualify. You have to move your way into this opportunity, but it's not to say that you can't have a huge issue on lap one and be out, and then another two guys have an issue, you know, halfway through the race. It's absolutely every single lap counts, and it's a culmination of a year's worth of hard work.
Well, it's important that you mention it, Rush, as far as, you know, Kyle Larson and how close he gets to the wall, becoming the wall. He's the only driver that has actual paint scheme restrictions, right? It's just like a crossing guard's got to wear that kind of neon vest, right? The reflective thing, because, you know, you want to be able to see him when you're out there. You mentioned he's in the race. Anything could happen, right? You know, none of these four guys might even win it, you know, but another guy that is in the race that has been kind of an afterthought, I wanted to get your thoughts on it, is Jimmy Johnson, as we've lost so many kind of those popular drivers and everything of the sport over the last handful of years. Jimmy is still there, but sometimes you have to almost remind yourself that he's there. You know, it's kind of the long goodbye here, you know, with him. And of course they're parting ways with crew chief Chad Knaus. What are your thoughts on that? Or, I mean, is there any, like, on the track between the drivers or any talk like Jimmy Johnson could do something, or is it kind of just a foregone conclusion? I don't want to say he's mailing it in, because, you know, he's a great, great competitor, but what is your assessment of the situation with him?
I think what we see in this sport is that it's easy for teams to sort of fall behind, and it's because the needle is moving forward so quickly on so many different levels, whether it's, you know, aero, whether it's, you know, this little additive that they figured out would cause less friction one place or wherever. It happens to every single team, and Jimmy Johnson is if not the best driver out there, he is one of the probably top three. I mean, he's an incredible driver. And that team at Hendrick this year has just not been on point for that stuff as an organization. And they're incredible. They're a wonderful organization. It just goes to show how quickly this sport moves. So to me, I think what's really cool is that we're seeing a guy who could walk away and go, you know what, seven's good, I'm gonna take it to the house. But That's not who Jimmy Johnson is. He knows he is capable of winning another championship, and he wants that. He wants that more than anyone can possibly fathom, because it would be doing something that no one else has ever done in this sport, and probably no one else could. And I think he and Chad had an amazing run, but they're both super talented, and it's possible that they need a change as well. And so I think it's really cool to see, you know, his new sponsor come on for next year, and I think Ally will be a great partner to him. It's weird to think we won't see a Lowe's car on track. I think that's the weirder thing, but it definitely feels like something's missing in this championship, and you're for sure correct that it feels like it's missing Jimmy Johnson, because it is. But I think that will change next year, because no one would have guessed that this year Chase Elliott would win his first race and his second, and it's almost a third, right? So It's bananas. It's totally bananas what has happened this year.
And it is happening so fast. And I think it proves when you've got that talent, if you get the right equipment in and you just make those adjustments. And I'll use, you know, Amarola as another example. You know, he's won like 25-30 with Richard Petty last year, and boom, contending for a championship this year. And you know that on the DNA side, Jimmy Johnson has everything it takes to win it again. Well, it is going to be nonstop excitement. You've got those top four. We're going to be watching for them. Who's going to win the championship? And then we have everybody else, right, who's trying to make a name for themselves, maybe be a spoiler. And it's all happening at 2 o'clock on NBC. And there, front and center, again, as our ambassador for both fast and fun, is Rutledge Wood. Rutledge, you want to give out your social media? And I'm sure you'll be like live tweeting, you know, super cool stuff from the track tomorrow.
You know, I will. Yeah, all my stuff is just at rutledgewood.com, RutledgeWood, at Rutledgewood, or therutledgewood.com if you really love the World Wide Web.
Yeah, Rutledge Wood is the best in the business. He'll be there with his step van. And thanks so much, Rut, for taking time and jumping on the show today.
Thank you, brother.
Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
Hey, this is Kevin Harvick, driver of the number 4 Jimmy John's Ford Fusion, and you're on the road with Dane on WGN.
720. WGN on the road here live in the Allstate Skyline Studio, high atop a rainy, dreary Chicago. And when we come back from, we'll talk a little bit, and when we come back, we're going to have Vince Welch from NASCAR on Fox kind of breaking down the action, talking a little David Pearson. And he would be one of those guys that would have been an idol, I think, for a lot of people to get a chance to meet. And hopefully when you meet people that you care about, you know, they live up to your expectations. And I know we're going to talk about that. I was trying to grill Ashley a little bit earlier, and if she ever got a chance to meet anybody that she really liked or looked up to, did it go well, right? Because you don't want it to go poorly. And so we're going to talk with her a little bit later on in the program. But Ashley, you got a chance to do something kind of cool. You did a private screening you wanted to talk about, like a movie thing. I know Tom Hush probably goes to those all the time, certainly Dean Richards. But so what was it? How private was it?
It was like an exclusive invite is how you had to get in. And my friend had worked on the movie, so she invited me to go. So I was very fortunate enough to have her be like, hey, come hang out with us. It was just like going to see a normal movie, except you're sitting in there with all the actors and people that worked on the movie. So it was really cool.
So you kind of toned down, because normally, and if people know you, I'm sure your friends, of course, that they know that you typically get up, you yell at the screen, you may even throw things at the screen. But when you've got all the people that worked on the movie, you got to tone down. Maybe, I don't know if you tone down your enthusiasm, but certainly if you're not happy, right?
I know, right? Well, it was actually a really good movie. It was very interesting to see and meet all the people that have worked on the movie and that were there. It was actually kind of funny because it's kind of a serious movie, but since they all know each other, they'd be wooing at like all the serious parts, and because they're like, oh, so-and-so's on the screen. So it's kind of interesting to see how that all came together. It was really cool.
Yeah. And what was the name of the movie again?
Mollywood the Movie.
Hollywood the movie.
More to come from them, so we'll see.
Look forward to a theater near you, Netflix, and all of that as well. We're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back. We're going to throw it to news. Stay tuned. Vince Welch is going to be on us. And a little bit later, James S. Murray from Impractical Jokers is going to be on, and that's a fun one as well. So stay tuned. On the road, 720 WGN. We got a chance to hear Dan Margarite and Backyard Barbecue Store. We are going to probably talk to them on Thanksgiving. Be sure to tune in to our Thanksgiving show. I know it's at least from 11 to noon, and then maybe even on Black Friday as well, talking some of those gifts that they were talking about in the spot, to, you know, because that's what everybody wants. You know, they want some grills and some supplies and all that stuff right now. Stay tuned. When we come back, we are going to have Vince Welch on, kind of breaking down championship weekend in Miami for NASCAR. Right now, though, it is 3:30 in news time. The news is sponsored by Builders Supply Outlet. Here's Bob Kessler.
Hi, it's Vince Welch from NASCAR on Fox, and you're listening to On the Road with Dane on WGN.
I like to dream. Yes, right between the sound machine.
720 WGN on the road with Dane, live here in the Allstate Skyline Studio. And so many cars on the road and so many cars on the track coming up this weekend. This is championship weekend down at Miami Homestead Speedway. Honored to have on the line with us one of our favorite voices of motorsports. He's the lead announcer for the Camping World Truck Series for NASCAR and part of the awesome team at NASCAR on Fox, the one and only Vince Welch. Vince, welcome to WGN.
Thanks, Dane. Great to be with you, and a big weekend indeed. It's an exciting time in South Florida, that's for sure.
Oh, you know, and it is as advertised in so many different ways, especially on the Cup side of things. You know, in the beginning, and I think you and I talked when we were here at Chicagoland, and you talk about the Big Three, and you talk about kind of the predictable team photo for that Championship Four, and, you know, you could have predicted in the beginning, and you'd look here and think nothing happened in the middle. Well, that isn't the case. I mean, there were so many things that could have happened kind of change what that scenario is, but here we are, and all those storylines are in play for what is going to shape up to be an exciting Sunday.
Well, I think you've got the best four. You know, I really do. I think the four that are, you know, challenging one another for the championship with, you know, Kevin Harvick and Kyle Busch and you know, Martin Truex Jr. obviously and Joey Logano. I think they are the best four, and I think it's the best four we've had competing for the championship ever under this format. And, you know, you can say what you will about the format. You know, they changed the format to put it a little more in line with the other sports. You know, we see, you know, a few years back, the New England Patriots went undefeated in the regular season, but they didn't win the Super Bowl, you know, and it came down to that very last game. And that's what's happening here in, you know, Homestead, Miami on Sunday. It's going to come down to the very last race. And it's one of those four guys is going to win the championship. And I think they're going to have to win the race to win the championship. And I think it's the best four that we've had all season, you know, long. They've proven themselves. They've proven that they are worthy of the opportunity. And I can't wait to see how it shakes out.
Yeah, and you mentioned this is maybe the best collection of it, and it really is. I mean, these guys have been consistently good and better, heads and shoulders better than the rest of the competition in a lot of different ways. But it was touch and go at the end as to how this kind of thing would shake out. I know, just like the NFL, and you brought it up, Vince, you know, you're trying to develop some kind of parity. The last thing we want to do, and we remember those years back where there's 5-6 races left, and you pretty much knew already who was going to win. It was just kind of an exercise to go through those last races. So they have definitely tweaked it. Do you think it's a little too close now, right? Because you could have with racing, you know, you can't really build up a lead at the end. You know, you could have had somebody wreck out in Phoenix and it could have changed the entire thing.
You know, I think you can, no matter what the format would happen to be, you know, even if you go back to the old format where it's just accumulation of points and whoever has the most points at the end. And, you know, like you said, you could be a couple of races from the end of the season and you'd already know who the champion is. And, you know, that takes away the shine off those last couple of races, you know, if you already know who the champion is. You know, I think you could pick out the pros and cons for any format. You know, I think you could do the same with this format. But I think the one thing you cannot deny is the drama that has come along with this format. It went right down to the very last lap last week at Phoenix. And I think it'll come down to the very last lap at Homestead. And to me, you know, you want the World Series to come down to, you know, two outs in the bottom of the ninth in a close game, and that one batter that's at the plate, they're going to, you know, win it or not get the job done, and that team loses. And it's the same with, you know, an NFL game. You want it to come down to the fourth and goal at the one, and for the Super Bowl, and the NBA Finals, you want, you know, tied with 3 seconds left on the clock. I mean, that's what we want, I think, as a sports fan. And I think that's what this format gives you as a race fan. And I like it. I do. I think that, again, I think, you know, and I'm old school in a lot of ways, but I like this format. I think it's interesting. I think it adds excitement and drama to the races leading up to the championship race. And I don't think you can question the intensity, the pressure, the tension that comes with it. And if you follow the racing or you're as close to it as I am, and you're in the garages and you feel the tension amongst the competitors. And I think that's what it's all about. And I think it has a real championship feel and a real championship vibe. And that's what we're going to get, you know, Sunday.
Yeah, really, you couldn't have drawn a better picture for it. You mentioned this may be the best collection competing for a championship on the final date. And I think at the end, when the smoke clears, we're going to have, you know, you're looking at Harvick, Truex, Kyle Busch. These are guys who've all won championships. I think that they're going to kind of put themselves into that, maybe, you know, some of the great ones of all time category. And for Joey Logano, a guy that hasn't, you know, he's finished second, I think, in 2016, but he hasn't won one. He'll finally have the resume to match the rhetoric, you know, and the personality. So what do you see happening, you know, as far as that goes? Do you have a prediction? I know it's going to be great no matter what happens. I almost don't care. I was so pulling kind of, you know, in an objective journalistic way for Martin Truex just because of all of the compelling storylines. But this one, it's just going to be just fun to watch.
Well, I think that you could choose any of the four and come up with why they are, you know, why they are the best or why they are the favorite. You know, I mean, Harvick, I think it's hard to ignore Harvick and Kyle Busch and the fact that they've won 8 times this season each. And, you know, that's twice as many as Truex has won. Logano's only won twice this season. So I think it's impossible to ignore, you know, Harvick and Kyle. Harvick's had the speed all year long. Kyle just is so talented, and that team seems to make fewer mistakes. But, you know, Truex has had terrific speed too, and really probably should have won more than the four races that he did win. Remember, he won this race in the championship last year. So we know he's certainly capable of getting it done, and they as a team are capable of getting it done. And, you know, I think Logano has come on strong, and so many of these races are won on pit lane, either not making a mistake or getting your team out ahead of, you know, the other team or the other competitor. And I think, I think Logano's probably got the best pit crew of the four. So, you know, I think that each team has something that makes them arguably a favorite. They've all won the championship before except for Logano, so obviously it would be huge for him to finally get that championship, and I think he's championship worthy. Whether he gets it this year or some other year down the road, I think he will. But I like that, you know, when you look statistically, I think they're the top four in average finish this season. Yeah. They're the top four in most top fives this season. And there's just no real weakness among the four championship contenders. And I think that's, you know, that's why I said I think it's the best representation of the final four that we've ever had. So, you know, it's so hard to pick a favorite, but, you know, I think it's impossible to ignore those 8 wins that Harvick and Kyle Busch have put on the board this year.
Letting the listeners know, we're talking with NASCAR on Fox's Vince Welch. He is the voice of the Camping World Truck Series for NASCAR. And when it comes to personalities there, here's the thing of the four, is you look at those great rivalries, and I think, you know, anybody, and Kyle Busch is a rivalry, and you got Harvick as fiery as well. I wanted to get your thoughts on one of the greatest rivalries of all time. Every time we talk to people, whether it's, you know, greats in the sports on the driving side or broadcasters like yourself, they say personalities are so important. David Pearson, we lost him this last week. You know, he is, you know, one of the greatest drivers of all time. I don't know, even though 105 wins, I mean, you know, how can you even compare to that? But without Richard Petty, who knows how many he wins. Your thoughts on the passing of Pearson?
Well, a legend, obviously a Hall of Famer, certainly one of those that, you know, one of the building blocks of the sport. It's, you know, when you talk about what David Pearson meant to NASCAR, you know, you could roll out the compliments all day long and still maybe not capture it. You know, I mean, he was, as you said, 105 wins. Most of the years that he ran in NASCAR, he didn't even run full time. Which is, you know, unbelievable. And that gives you an indication of how different the sport was then compared to what it is now. But when he did run full-time, I mean, he was among the best and was among the best ever. You know, we could run this sport for 100 years of competition, and you would still go back to David Pearson as being one of the best ever. And certainly from a personality standpoint, from a talent standpoint, and historical and his contribution to the sport, a huge loss. But I think everyone will remember him fondly, fiery, just the way you'd want him, you know, talented. And I think we have some of those personalities in this sport. You know, you mentioned Harvick and Kyle Busch, and their personalities seem to be out there a little bit more as compared to a Logano or a Truex. But I guarantee you that Truex and Logano have the fight within them, just like Kyle and Kevin do. So I think that's what makes a great racer, not necessarily what you see on the outside, but what they bring from the inside when they're behind that wheel or they have that wheel in their hands. And no question, David Pearson is one of the best ever at that. And I think these four guys that are racing on Sunday for the championship, you know, could very well go down in that category as well, you know, when we're talking about their careers 20 years down the road.
Well, when it comes to trying to make it exciting and make it relevant, they have done it. It is going to be on Sunday, you know, every single move from as soon as, you know, they get that green flag, you know, every pit stop, every tire change, every adjustment is going to be questioned, right? Because it's just kind of like playoff baseball. Everything matters and kind of plays into it. It is going to be something I know must watch for all of our fans here, and excited to have you be able to jump on and share your thoughts and insights with it as well, Vince. So as we let you go, if you want to share, you know, ways that kind of fans, certainly the Camping World Truck Series fans, can keep up with you social media wise. I know you're prolific on there, always sharing kind of your thoughts. Where can they go?
Yeah, Twitter is at Vince Welch, and on Instagram as well. Those are the two. Primarily Twitter is the way I interact in general with the fans and kind of give it a little bit more attention, certainly on race weekends. So that's the route to go, and always enjoy hearing from the fans and hearing their opinions. And it's been fun, you know, with the Truck Series. This season was such an exciting season. Xfinity, so exciting, and the Cup race tomorrow, I know, is going to be equally exciting. And just it's the culmination of our season, in a sense that, you know, from we've been doing this since the middle of February, and these teams work so hard, and not just the teams that you see on the racetracks, but the teams, whether it's television or the radio group covering it, the people in the print business. It really is a sport that if you're going to cover it the right way, you've got to be incredibly dedicated to do it. And I know that everyone's looking forward to the culmination of it, so they can all take a break, but at the same time looking forward to the culmination of it, because it's a celebration of everything that's led up to it. And I don't think it'll disappoint.
Oh, it's worth all of the effort. It is coming down to it, and it's going to happen in the right way, too. We're going to be excited to see how it all shakes out. Vince, thanks so much for what you're doing. We'll let you get back at it, and thanks for jumping on the show today.
Always a pleasure, Dane. Take care.
It's peanut butter jelly time. Peanut butter jelly time. Peanut butter jelly time. Where you at? Where you at?
Hey, everybody. This is Murr from Impractical Jokers, and you are on the road with Dane on WGN.
Peanut butter jelly. Peanut butter jelly. Peanut butter jelly. Peanut butter jelly. Peanut butter jelly with a baseball bat.
720 WGN on the road with Dane, live here on the road, actually, on the Impractical Jokers Krangis McBasketball Tour with the guys who are on the road in what is the hottest television show on True TV and the hottest comedy tour going, selling out arenas wherever they go here in the greater Bloomington metropolitan area with the one and only James S. Murray. Murr, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, man. This is awesome.
Well, it is really awesome, and the success of the show has been awesome. My son Maxwell is here, and he's been a fan for years, literally years, when it was more of an obscure show. Like, what is it that these guys are doing? And then now, you guys are kind of taking over the world. Are you surprised, not only that you can sell out arenas in the Mid-America all over the country, but also just the demographics of your fans goes from little kids all the way to senior citizens?
We are surprised. I never imagined when we created the show that this would be our path at all. We did a live show in New York City maybe 10, 11, 12 years ago, right before the show started. And no joke, two people bought tickets to see it before. Two people. And now to do like Madison Square Garden, the O2 here in Bloomington, unbelievable. And I never thought when we created the show that it would be families watching it. I thought it'd be just like guys watching it, like our age. And then we started to see like kids were watching it and parents and the grandparents were watching it. It was unbelievable.
38 states in Canada, that's what we reach in on WGN, and you guys are traveling all across the country. Certainly, you mentioned Madison Square Garden. That has to be incredibly gratifying to be in your hometown selling out an iconic arena. But for the tour, did you just put it out there and wherever people bought tickets you went to, or how did you choose the locations along the way?
People smarter than me planned out the strategy for where we go, and first it was literally, the first 2 years of the tour, it was literally just the guys and I just saying, okay, let's go here, let's go there, and then it kind of grew and we realized that the show was, when you film a hidden camera show, you don't know if it's popular. It's hidden camera. Right. So it wasn't until the tour that we realized the effect it was having on people. And it just grew exponentially and became really the major part of our career.
Wow, it's huge. And it couldn't happen to nicer guys. Think about this, though. You guys are all so different, but yet it's greater than the sum of the parts, more than any even rock band, right? There isn't one. There's no David Lee Roth in the band. You guys are all great. You, I think, and our listeners have said, you're the cerebral joker, right? Yeah, yeah. To where like the jokes and the level of the humor doesn't necessarily define you. So let's talk about the book. You know, that you're an author. You've had this book written in the background for, 10 plus years, and now here you are seeing it not only coming out, but with some really great reviews.
Well, the crazy thing about the book is it's very similar to Joker's in that, the guys and I in the show were regular guys. We weren't cast. We weren't discovered. We didn't have a cousin who worked for the network. We just worked and failed for a long time before we succeeded. The book is the same story. I wrote it 14 years ago. I spent a year of my life writing this fast-paced, action-packed, page-turning. Is that okay, this sound?
Yeah. Okay? We're caught up in the moment. It's happening, right?
The show's happening right now, man! I'm going on stage. I'm taking the mic on stage. Okay. So I wrote this book. I spent a year writing it. At the end of the year, I sent it out to every publisher in New York, and it got returned to me unopened by every single one because I didn't have an agent or a lawyer, nothing. And I had to wait until I got on TV, sent the same book into HarperCollins, and they bought the trilogy from me, and we hit number one on the international bestseller list. Wow. And it's this super exciting, fast-paced thriller called Awakened. You can go to awakenednovel.com and get it, or anywhere books are sold, and it's like the best summer beach reading you'll ever have.
You think about this, and you look back, and I'm sure you guys have done this, is that you never can tell one meeting here, one chance thing happens here, it leads to the success. Do you think if you would have gotten, let's say, dessert, acclaim early on as an author, that any of this other stuff would have happened?
No, I tell you, I think the path we took is great because we were already formed guys. We already were normal. We developed. We had loved and lost, if you will, and lost a lot. And that made us what you see on the show, which is people respond to how real we are, like our friendship. And so that's why the show works.
I think that's it, is that people feel like they know you, right? They know people like you, and they feel like they know you now. When it's a hidden camera show, at first, it's got to be kind of fun to have people recognize you while you're doing the skits. But now, and you mentioned, you have no idea how popular you are. How surprised, or who are some people who've surprised you, either famous people that you admire their work or whatever, that you're like, whoa, you're a fan? Let's say Brad Pitt or something like that.
Well, we went to, we got invited to the first movie premiere of our lives, right? 2 years ago. And it was the premiere for Grown Ups 2. And we're sitting in the last row. And Adam Sandler sees us and walks up the aisle to say hello and says, it's the only show his family watches. His kids love the show. And I was like, dude, you're Adam Sandler! And then we got to meet the Zucker brothers, who did Naked Gun, Airplane, they're comedic idols, our legends, And we sent them the DVDs. They'd never seen the show, but the kids watched the show. And an email comes in one Saturday night, midnight, from David Zucker. And it says, guys, just to let you know, I can't watch a TV show more than 15 minutes at a time because I have tears streaming down my face. I'm like, you're David Zucker!
You look at it on the TV side and all of those things and the success and everything that you've had, and you've got the book coming out. Now, the movie that you made, it's all about budgets, right? You got to have the right budget, the right audience. Any chance of a damned remake?
No chance in hell, my friend. That movie I'll tell you what. More than 3 million people have watched that movie online. That's success, my friend. That, even though it sucks, please don't watch it. That's success.
Well, you think about the you've got the cruise coming up, and then, of course, the movie coming out. When I think of you guys in a movie like that, I think of Kiss Meets the Phantom, something kind of cool like that. So what's the movie going to be about? And of course, the cruise, people can get up close and personal.
It's Impractical Jokers, the movie. It's a cross country hidden camera movie. There's a narrative beginning and end that sets us on this course to compete in hidden camera challenges. And the movie has five or six mini punishments throughout it. So it's not just one punishment. So that's kind of cool. And it feels like a much, much bigger version of the TV show.
Last thing, you've gotten so many different, I'm sure, offers and opportunities. Any pet cremation services come and want you to be their spokesperson, or maybe senior citizen divorce lawyer groups?
Yeah, I mean, I have my own company. You can, it's call James S. Murray, of course, la, 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 and I can help you out with either of those things.
Oh, awesome. We'll have all the links up for everything, for the book, for Awaken. Congratulations on all the success, and excited to go and enjoy the show with everyone else.
Thanks for having me.
720 WGN on the road, wrapping it up. Thanks to everybody who listened to the show. Thanks to everybody who participated. Right now, though, it is news time, straight up 4 o'clock. The Steve Cochran Show celebrates the most valuable person on the planet weekday mornings at 720 on 720 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. The news is sponsored by American Weathermakers. Here's Bob Kessler.